to work. Bryant the drive. Oh! Kobe Bryant on a rack attack. Eligible defense. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
Iguodala to Curry. Back to Iguodala. Up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James.
Here comes McCready. Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building.
I like my meatballs spicy.
Irving and Curry. One-on-one. Irving puts it up.
Back three, high arcing shot, he banks it in. Oh, Luka Doncic, such a clutch three-pointer.
Irving, step back three. Oh, Kyrie Irving buries it for the lead.
Hey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop. There it is here on Shooting the Sports-ish. Cam and I are doing a back-to-back recording. As Drake Drizzy would say, we're going back-to-back.
Well done. I love that.
Is Drake still cool?
Are
we too old to
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. Why not? No.
I'm in my low 30s. I think I'm still allowed to know what's cool.
Yeah. I think the fact also, too, that you're a teacher, I think that keeps you hip.
I think that ruins it. I think that automatically makes me
no,
because
cool. you know the lingo, though. You know the lingo, though.
That's true. I do. I do know it reluctantly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We're here to talk about basketball. We say I say Drizzy because Drizzy loves whoever is the best team in basketball. Last year it was the Raptors, so he actually admitted he was a Canadian basketball fan. I imagine now he's a Lakers fan. We are here. We are in the NBA Finals, Cam. We the first sport to cancel all of their sports because of COVID. 25 years ago, is now going to crown their champion in about 2.5 weeks. Maybe we'll see. It depends on how long the series goes. I don't think it'll be that long, but we'll see. Maybe to win. Maybe we know here pretty soon. I am honestly shocked we got here. Like let's talk about the timeline. Right, basketball season starts in October last year. Okay, 2019. Right.
Yeah.
Goes to March 15th. I think was the day Rudy Gobert. Has COVID, doesn't know he does, goes, wipes mics, wipes another mic. His test comes back. He has COVID. The game gets canceled. The Dallas Mavericks play the last game, and Luka has a triple-double. Then they say, we're not going to come back. Then they say, we are going to come back. Then they do come back. So they come back. They play in the bubble. June 23rd is when they got to the bubble. They played through the whole season. They shut down again because of Black Lives Matter protests and because they were just so upset about things going on, rightfully so, and they thought it's tough being in the bubble. Mavericks played the last game before that shut down too. And I think Luka had a triple-double in that one even. And it's just crazy how much has changed. And now we're done. We're in the last round of the playoffs, Cam, and I honestly can't believe we actually got here.
Yeah, it's, I mean, roller coaster is the perfect description, I think, for everybody in life, and in sports often imitate life in that matter. And kudos to Adam Silver and the NBA crew, because the front office of the NBA, I mean, to put everybody in a bubble and still not have anything crazy happen in general, right? There's no like huge fight that cleared out a whole ballroom. There's no this and that's being snuck in and being dealt with or being dealt or whatever. No spike in positive tests. It is a testament to what Adam Silver's been able to do, putting everybody in the bubble like that. Very impressive.
I love that they're finishing the chapter this way, too, with the bubble. I like that they're finishing it in the bubble with no fans. I mean, like, do I want fans? Absolutely. Would I, like, win the Lakers? Spoiler alert, my pick is the Lakers for this championship win. When the Lakers win the finals, do I want it to happen in L.A. at the Staples Center with LeBron crying and celebrating and saying, this is for you, Mamba? Yeah, absolutely, I want that. But I love the commitment to it. The NBA is my favorite league because I think that they are more connected to the real world than most other leagues, more so than the NFL by far.
Yeah.
The NBA is it's a face league. Like, that's what I call it. I compare it to wrestling, where it's a face league. What, like, big in wrestling, right? Like, I have a wrestling background. You're a wrestling fan. We have a wrestling show on this network. The reason why you can relate to basketball players and why I think fans get so passionate is because we see their face from the day they debut in the league. And Adam Silver and David Stern didn't either. As you say what you want about David Stern, rest in peace. They never stopped their players from being personalities. And so I just love the commitment here, because they're connected to the real world and the real hazards. And when they're going to crown their champion, and they're going to come back in January, and they're going to celebrate by having their fans there. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw it a few nights ago with the Lightning and the Stars ending their series in the bubble. Go Lightning. And I love that you use the word commitment for that, because I think that makes a lot of sense. And you're right. The NBA is more connected to the real world far and away than any other sport.
Yeah.
And I think that this makes sense. Start it, finish it how you started. I love it. I think this is great.
Let me take back than any other sport. There is one league that's better, and it's the WNBA. I don't watch the WNBA, but if you're a sports fan, you're aware that the WNBA is incredibly devoted to social justice and doing what they can to speak out for social justice reform. The WNBA is incredible at being connected to the real world, too. So I guess it's just a basketball thing.
And again, it's like you said, the faces, because not to take it down this path, but in the world of wrestling, as you said, you have a wrestling background. I also have a wrestling background. You didn't just say I had a fan, I had a podcast, but whatever. Again, face, a face. You can connect with that.
Yeah.
That person is my favorite wrestler because, and if they walked down the street, I would know exactly who it was 100 yards away.
Yeah. I want to talk about some of the pettiness that happened over this season, too, because I thought a lot of this was fun, right? So we had, and we'll get into predicting the NBA finals, but to me, the most fun thing about the basketball, what the hell? How fucking old am I? My favorite thing about basketball is, man, this league is so goddamn petty, man. It is so petty. Like, can we talk about the fact that in the bubble, we had Pat Bev's chihuahua ass? I hate Patrick Beverley. Like, Draymond Green has moved out of my most hated player in the league list. And I honestly am, like, wondering why I hated him, because I cannot stand Pat Bev. But him, with his mask on, of course, pulling it down just to make sure he can go, Dame time, when he misses the free throws, comes back to bite them in the ass as he hardly plays in the playoffs, and they lose in the second round game, and after being up 3-1. Now we've got all this crazy pettiness about playoff P, layoff P, pandemic P. I mean, so you had Montrezl Harrell call Luka a bitch-ass white boy. Then Luka drops a 40-point triple-double on their heads the next game. This league is so dramatic, Cam. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I am here for all of the drama and all of the pettiness. And the reason why is because what I think is the reason is because it's an enclosed space. It's a smaller room to work with than, say, a football arena or even a hockey rink or anything like that. And all of the cameras are always on you because there's not really anywhere you can hide. You're either one of seven guys on a bench, or you're one of 10 guys on a 96-foot court. You can't hide. And if you say or do something stupid, it's going to get picked up. And I love it. I also love all of the Patrick Beverley hate. And that quote that came out where last year he told Steph Curry that it was his time. And Curry laughed and said, "Aren't you like 31? And then Patrick Beverley averaged 6 points and like 2 assists for the entire 2020 playoffs.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid, Pat Bev. I just can't. I call Pat an if, apparently. Yeah, Patrick Beverley was a rocket for a long time, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. Yeah, we loved him. He was great because he didn't say a whole lot, but he was just that prick. He was that prick on defense. So you could just be like, hey, go bully that dude. And he'd be like, all right. And he'd walk out on the court and he'd do it. You love him. You love him.
Unless you're playing against him and Montrezl. But anyway, it's been a crazy season. At a year and a half long season. I mean, literally, they will have played for over a year by the time this is over, off and on. And before we make our, we talk about the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, I want to say this, and I want to see if you can put together an all, but your all bubble team, your five most impressive players of any position before we go. Yeah, that's right. On the spot, baby.
Goodness. Okay.
I love what's happened this season. I think that we've seen a lot of stars develop. Also, I want to say this about the champion. There are some people that are going to have this incredibly terrible take that this is an asterisk championship. I'm a LeBron lover. This is a known thing on our network. Any show I pop up, if I can talk about LeBron, I'm going to. I'm a LeBron lover. So if LeBron wins this ring, it's going to sound like I'm being biased because I love LeBron. But if the Miami Heat win the ring, I feel the same way. I think this is maybe the most impressive championship maybe ever won, because it is during a pandemic, massive civil and social unrest in a bubble. They didn't have their families for 2 months that they got to see. They're just basically isolated. Yes, I know they got millions. They got to stay in fancy hotels and play video games and get catered to. That shit's still hard. And I think it's impressive that the Lakers and the Miami Heat have to be two of the most mentally tough teams to ever play in the NBA, because this is a shitty, tough situation they played in, but they did it, and they did it at the highest level.
Yeah, there are anybody that argues that this is an asterisk season for any sport. I just walk away from the conversation because I can't communicate with somebody at that level. And I just don't want to try and maximize the brain power to do so. It is not an asterisk for anybody because everybody had the same playing field.
Yep.
Everybody knew that that the season was getting canceled. Everybody knew there was a pandemic. It's not like this snuck up on anybody halfway through the playoffs. And everybody that qualified to make the playoffs played in the same constant every time. You were in the same hotel. You went to the same gym. You did this at the same time. You got tested the same way.
Yep.
Everybody was on the same playing field going into the playoffs. This is not an asterisk season because everybody had the same playing field.
Yep.
So please stop saying that. And as Michael Jordan would say, get some help.
Ha, love it. All pandemic team. Who you got? I'll name mine after. All bubble team.
Oh,
I should say.
Man. Why'd you put me on the spot and then you sure make did. Me go first?
Okay, I'll go first. That'll make you feel better. I'll go first. Point guard, Jamal Murray.
It will because, yeah.
I'm gonna go Murray. Yeah. I'm gonna go Luka. Yeah. Murray, Luka, Damian Lillard, Jokic, and Devin Booker. All bubble. I know that the Suns didn't play in the playoffs, but Booker was so damn good. Booker was so damn good in the bubble through those 9 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now you're going back to regular season play. I mean, I'm talking Booker bubble off. You can't keep Booker off, man. What he went, he left Earth for 9 games.
And I'm not necessarily saying like these are the best players. These were just my favorite players to watch. Luke, I'm a Mavs fan. Mavs fan for life, baby. Luka's going to get the nod, obviously. But
yeah, that's not a, and that, I mean, that's the thing. That's not a bad answer. Like if I said LeBron, that's not a bad answer. LeBron's done a lot of good stuff in the bubble.
Right.
I like Booker, but Jimmy Butler for everything has had a really good bubble.
Yeah.
In the sense of too, not only what he's done on the court, but people are actually taking him seriously as a leader in a locker room, which I don't think anybody would have ever said in their life.
No,
I always, you know, I liken this to the fact where a lot of people have said this to, and I buy into it, is Jimmy Butler is the guy that in the same sentence, I can say he could be arguably the best player in the league any given night. And I want him 100 feet away from my locker room. And there's not another person in the league. You can say those two things in the same breath and people will be like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Butler, Booker, great calls. I was going to say Luka. I'm going with all guards, apparently. Jamal Murray. And you know what? I really liked watching Tyler Hero drop a 40 piece out of nowhere.
Nice.
And I think Hero's actually had a pretty good bubble. So why not? Five guards, Tyler Hero.
There you go. There you go. And anybody that's doing, like, if you do one of these all bubble teams and you don't put Jamal Murray on it, you are on crack.
Yeah,
high.
Yeah, and I think, again, I left out Jokic, AD, LeBron, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum was unreal.
Jaylen Brown had a really good playoff bubble, too. Yeah, so,
Donovan,
you know,
Mitchell.
You're
going to
say five names,
bubble.
You're going to leave off seven. Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, you're going to say five names, you're going to leave off eight, and people are going to yell at you, but you know what? Whatever. I'm in a bunk bed, so knock it off.
There you go. You sure are on a damn bunk bed. Sure. Cam is recording.
I am.
This is NBA and NFL. Doesn't matter. Always in the bunk. Let's talk about. Let's talk about the Eastern Western Conference Finals real quick. I want to touch on them really quickly. Western Conference Finals. I don't think there's really much to say here. The Nuggets had an incredible run. Two back to back game sevens. Come from 3-1 and win. Lakers are just really good. Lakers are really, really good. And we saw the Lakers in their run play as three completely different teams, and that makes them a really terrifying team in the finals. The rotation they used in against the Blazers, against the Rockets, and against the Nuggets were all very different rotations. Vogel was coaching his ass off. Or LeBron, I mean, whoever. LeBron is probably coaching his ass off, let's be real. The Lakers were dominant in the Western Conference Finals. They were. They were very good. And that closeout game from LeBron was just wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, the closeout game was everything you wanted from LeBron. I think the unsung hero, and I never thought I would get a chance to say this, and it's recorded, and I'm going to keep this forever. The unsung hero of this Denver series was Dwight Howard.
Yes.
Because Dwight's not going to play in a lot of games against Miami. He just doesn't match up. He'll get his minutes, don't get me wrong. But he won't be as featured, I don't think, as he would have been against Boston, because Miami doesn't have the bigs like that he can play bully ball with, which this was Dwight Orlando bully ball, in the sense of when he stepped on the court, his job was to get rebounds and piss off Jokic. And he did those two things masterfully. And that's what won him the starting spot in the closeout game, right? Game five, he finally started over JaVale McGee, or game four or five. He did everything he needed to. This Lakers team needs shades of Orlando Dwight and shades of Boston Rondo, and this series will not go long like the Denver series.
Yep. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that as well. I think it's also to support your point there about Dwight and bully ball Dwight. The one game that the Lakers lost in that series was when they were just massively out-rebounded. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee combined for like two boards in that game. I mean, they clearly had to play bully ball down low. I actually disagree with you, and we'll talk about the finals in a second. I think that they can use Dwight quite a bit. I think they can use Dwight and McGee combo off and on to screw with Bam. I think Bam Adebayo is a center, so I think that he's a more athletic center, so he's not going to get quite as annoyed as Jokic, who, I don't know. He's not as good as Jokic. He's very, very good. He's not as good as Jokic. He's not as Let's talk about the Miami Heat. Let's just go right into it. Adebayo is amazing. Adebayo is so damn good. Jimmy Butler's a great leader, but they won that series because Dragic and Adebayo were so good. So good, Cam.
Yeah, Bam is somebody put it today, and it was, you know, you can't really argue it. Bam Adebayo is 23 years old and the best player on a finals team.
Yeah.
And it's weird to say, and it's weird to type out, but Bam is 23 and is the best player on the on a finals team. This Heat team is fun, man, because they just, God, they're shooters, man. It's almost like when the ball, it's right now, it's okay. Just hear what I'm saying. In these last three games, it's almost like Golden State, where when one of their shooters throws the ball up, you just kind of automatically think it's going to go in. Because of how much they've been rolling.
Yeah.
And they were really fun to watch. I did not see them. The one thing that worries me is I did not see them handling Boston the way they did. And because they did that, that actually gives me a little caution going into this Lakers series. This Heat team is good, man. And Eric Spoelstra is the most underrated coach in all of sports. Yes. Not the NBA. I used to say it was the NBA. I have now expanded it to all of sports. This man does not get enough credit for what he does, and I don't know why.
So that's what I was going to actually bring up. So I wanted to bring that up about Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra, number one, is only 49 years young. Like, can we talk about the fact that Eric Spoelstra is, how many finals has he been to? He was the assistant coach for the first Wade championship with Shaq, right? Because it was Pat Riley that coached that team. So he was the assistant coach there. So then he becomes the coach. What? He goes to the finals. Was it three times with the Miami Heat? Yes, three times.
Yeah.
So he's been to four finals at age 49.
This would be five,
Are you kidding me? Crazy. Are you kidding? Oh, no. Is it five? Mavs. Yes, you're sure right. This is the fifth finals. Five finals at 49. Yeah. And let's talk about the fact that LeBron is like 35. So, like... Spoelstra, people talked about whether or not he was a very good coach with the Heatles. We remember this. You and I are old enough to remember that. Sure. And I always thought he's a great coach. He's a great coach. He just played against one of the hottest playoff runs ever with my Mavericks, and also played against the Greg Popovich dynasty. That was the Spurs that lasted. That dynasty lasted for 20 years. Ain't no shame in those losses for him.
Yeah.
The reason the Heat handled, and yes, those games were close. They still won in six games. They still won 4-2, and it never felt like Boston was really going to come back. The reason they won that series, Cam, is because Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA. I'd put him over Greg Popovich. Now I would. I'd put him over Popovich. There is the talent on the Miami Heat is good, but it pales in comparison to what Brad Stevens has in Boston. They have five lottery picks.
Oh, yeah.
Tatum is a superstar. Yep. Marcus Smart is maybe the best defender in the league. Jaylen Brown's a great player. Kemba Walker's a great dominant scorer. Gordon Hayward was once thought to be one of the youngest stars rising in the league before a dreadful injury. Spoelstra's just outcoached his ass. He just knew, okay, Duncan Robinson's hot. We're rolling with Duncan. Okay, Tyler Hero's hot. We're rolling with Tyler Hero. Okay, Dragic is hot. We're rolling with Dragic. His game plan changed every game according to what the defense gave him. How many coaches in the NBA do that now?
Not enough. Not enough to get to wear the coach title, that's for sure.
No. To me, that's what the series was. I don't know if you have any different takes there, but I think I don't even think it came down to how anybody played. I think Eric Spoelstra just outcoached Brad Stevens and ran laps around him.
Yeah, you could tell that this was a coaching thing because it was almost like clockwork. Every third quarter, the Heat in the first and second quarter, Boston would be up. And this is pretty much for all but one of the games, right? So for five of the six games is literally how it went. Boston starts out of the gates hot. They go up. They're up 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 at halftime. Third quarter hits. Miami goes on a 20-4 run. They gain the lead back, and then it's over, right? And then there's a little bit of a push there in the fourth quarter, and then Miami deads it with about 2 minutes left, and then it's over, right? So, obviously minus a couple of things. That's generally how this went. And that is that wave – how that happens every time, that's coaching.
Right.
Right. When a team that's really bad in one half comes back and plays really well in the second half, that's coaching. Those are tweaks. Those are changes that are made in the locker room on the fly based on what his staff is seeing. And Spoelstra has his staff so dialed in that if they can take some of that second half run and move it into the first half, which is a little worrisome, but the fact that they can make those changes is scary enough.
So let's go ahead and transition here right into the NBA Finals. We got the NBA Finals starting tonight. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, but released Wednesday. Actually, might go ahead and just drop this bad boy at midnight tonight, so we can get out ahead of the NBA Finals. Give you guys plenty of time to listen to it. But anyway, you have Frank Vogel versus Spoelstra. You have maybe, like, now that we have it, maybe this was the best story to get, is Spoelstra versus LeBron. I saw some things that I retweeted from our account yesterday that was, or maybe, yeah, it was yesterday because I retweeted it during a fire drill at school. So I saw some things that Spoelstra has done to defend against LeBron, right? And this is where the game's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, so you see that he was basically able to matador, is what I'm going to call it, like matador LeBron into double teams, and where they were able to shrink the, like, not double him, but double him. It's very interesting the way Spoelstra plays defense against LeBron. He gives him a wall, and he somehow always has a man on a shooter. And watching that video, I thought, The Heat should lose in five. The Heat can win this series. They can, because Spoelstra knows how to defend against LeBron. And it's just going to be interesting to see. The X factor is going to be, obviously, AD is one of the best pick-and-roll big men we've seen in a really long time. He's just a great shooter. He's a decent enough passer himself. He's a dynamic scorer. But the role players for the Lakers, I don't think, are going to present many issues for the Heat. If they can handle LeBron and AD and keep them to about 50 points combined, 45 to 60 max combined, can the role players carry the Lakers past the Heat? I don't know.
Yeah, when you have to ask the question, how many points can KCP score in a finals?
Yeah.
You're in interesting waters if you have to ask that question. I love how Spoelstra has been defending LeBron in that video that you found was awesome, but the goal is, like you said, to do what he does, and that, you know, how you explained it, excuse me, but ultimately he goes under every pick that is set for LeBron. Yeah. He's just going to dare LeBron to shoot 14 threes a game. And if LeBron bites on that and takes 14 threes a game, that could get very ugly for the Lakers. Yeah. LeBron is a good outside shooter, but on his best day, he's not going to go 10 for 14. He may go 6 or 7 of 14.
Yeah.
But if you can get him to take volume shots from 3-point, which is what Spoelstra kind of baits him into doing, or making those cross-court passes, you know, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, and I love that you brought that up too, because that's going to be the thing, is the defensive playbook for a long time on LeBron was to make him a passer. Well, guess what? Now you can't do that, because he's maybe the best passer in the league, even at 35. So he is just such an interesting person. But if you can get him to shoot, it's going to, like, you're so right, because what does LeBron do when he shoots and makes a couple? He doesn't go inside anymore. He stays with his jumper. If his jumper is falling, he will stay. And that thing always goes cold. It always goes cold on him. Now, this is crazy to say this about LeBron, who just had, like, what, 38, 17, and 12, or some his triple-double in the closeout game was fucking stupid. It was stupid.
Sure.
It really was. I've got the Lakers winning this game. I think that you have there's going to be a lot of basketball coaches. Like you said, you coach basketball off stream. You coach basketball. This is going to be a great game and series for people to watch that know X's and O's basketball.
I'm really excited for it. The one question I'll ask, which not saying that nobody's asking, but I don't know if a lot of people are asking it, is, can Frank Vogel rise to the level of Eric Spoelstra? Because no bones about this, Spoelstra is clearly the best coach between these two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. Spoelstra is way better of a coach than Frank Vogel is. So Vogel has a challenge in front of himself, is, can me and my two best assistants be better than Spo in his first two assistants? Because that's the secondary game that's now going to be played. There's on-court stuff that everybody can talk about.
Yeah.
But that secondary chess match that's going on, me and my two versus you and your two, who can outsmart the other one. And that I'm really excited for that. I'm with you. I've got the Lakers winning. Going back earlier when I said, I don't know if Dwight's going to get a lot of, I think he'll get a lot of the playing time. I don't know if he'll get featured as much. And what I meant by that was if Boston won, they present Theis. I always say it wrong. Is that right?
Yeah. Theis. Yeah. Yeah.
So they present Theis, Cantor, and Grant Williams down low. Dwight can play with Theis. He'd mess Cantor up. Cantor'd have to go seek therapy if he got in front of this Dwight. But he can play physically with those three guys. I'm worried if Bam is going to run Dwight to death. JaVale, maybe not so much, but that's what I meant by I don't know if Dwight will be as featured as much because he won't have that opportunity to beat and bang down low and get in their head.
Yeah, yeah. That's man, that's the thing too, is like this game is going to be played well beyond Anthony Davis and LeBron and Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic. Like there's so many different levels to this, yeah. But it's interesting you brought up the Vogel versus Spoelstra thing, because let's also not forget, I don't think Vogel's ever beat Spoelstra in a playoff series, has he? Those Pacers teams didn't beat LeBron.
I don't think he ever beat him in Indiana, no. I don't think so, no. No, yeah. I mean, well, they definitely didn't, yeah.
Because, like, I mean, and that there were like they were the favorites in the series both times those guys played each other. Like everybody thought Pandemic P, sorry, Playoff P. At that time, he was a great playoff player. But everybody thought Playoff P. And Roy, my career went down the drain faster than it rose. Hibbert, everybody thought that team was a lot better, and they were a much better team. You had Lance Stevenson. They tried to play mind games with LeBron, but Vogel could never get that step that he needed to put away LeBron. And he's coaching him now, and LeBron does hit another level in the playoffs. But LeBron's also been inconsistent in these playoffs, kind of, right? Like, our boy Steven.
He's been inconsistent for LeBron's level.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some other takeaways you have about the series that you want to hit on before we get out of here?
I think for me, it's going to be wing. What it's going to come down to for me, for the Lakers, is going to be wing defense. Yeah. So, like you said, will JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard be caught on islands by themselves? Ball rotation by Miami is one of their first most effective way that they can score. Not that that's saying much outside of the box, but their ability to swing the ball so fast that you're going to force KCP, who they brought in for the defensive end of the court, they definitely didn't bring him in for the offensive side of the court. He's got to show. Rondo has to play a level of defense that he probably hasn't played in a while for a whole series. Not that he didn't need to do it against Denver. He just probably needs to do it more consistently against Hero and Dragic and those guys. So I'll be interested in really, like you said, the role players. I think... The Heat have the better 3 through 7, but the Lakers 1 and 2 are just so much better than the Heat's 1 and 2. It'll be interesting to see how all that plays out.
I think this is going to be an excellent finals. I do actually think this is the best matchup. I think Celtics and Lakers would have been a fun matchup too, but this the different layers to this matchup is going to be really fun. It is really unfortunate that we're not going to get to hear Stephen A. Smith just go nuts about how he gets to bounce back and forth between Miami and LA, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to miss. I haven't listened to Stephen A. in so long. I can't even lie. I don't know what I wouldn't miss anything about that.
I like how you're like, this is the internet. I think I'm going to lie. Nah, never mind. Nicely done. Anyway, guys,
you know what? I can't even commit to it.
This is what I like Stephen A. Smith for. Do I watch First Take? Absolutely not. I don't really watch a lot of sports shows. I listen to Pardon My Take from Barstool Sports on Mondays, and I listen to my local ESPN radio affiliate, but that's because I just like the guys, and I've partied with one of the dudes that's on it, so I like ESPN, and it's local sports radio is dope.
Sure.
But Stephen A, for me, is what does he do that ends up trending on Twitter that I can laugh at? That's my Stephen A. Right. It's not like Inside the NBA. I watch Inside the NBA every time it's on because that show fucking rules. But no, I don't just watch First Take. Like, who? I'm at work anyway. Who wants to watch First Take?
Yeah.
Like Max Kellerman.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
The fuck is that? Anyway, guys, this is Hoop There It Is. Cam joined me this week, and I am Tony. You can follow Cam at Cam_Manning90 on the Twitter. You can follow me at Tony on Sports on the Twitter. You can also follow our podcast network here at Shoot Sports Ish on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit that red subscribe button down below. Go up this way. Hit that like button. It has a little thumbs up. You can't miss it. And share as well. We would appreciate that very much. For Cam, I'm Tony. This is Hoop There It Is on Shooting the Sports Ish. It's the end of the NBA season. I'm not ready for it to go, but I'm ready for this series. We'll see you next week.